Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you. Thank you for making the choice. I know it's a difficult choice on holiday weekends to be here. There's so much going on, but, you know, celebrating Jesus is definitely a choice. I mean, it's an incredible choice.
We're not hearing you.
Oh, I can hear me myself perfectly. How are we doing now? All right. How's that?
You got it?
Sounds good to me. Well, thank you, everyone, for making a choice for being here. I mean, you ever look on Facebook? They have all those activities, you know, that are coming, events that are coming up. Anybody go on Facebook? I check every one of them. I'm interested. You know what I mean? And then I wind up going nowhere, you know, going to bed. Today I've never seen so many choices especially on a holiday weekend of what to do. But we chose well this morning to come celebrate Jesus. And again, in spite of everything that is going on, you know, another shooting in this country, another shooting happening, and a hurricane barreling down on our coast. I mean, and we're celebrating, and it almost flies in the face of life. But if we don't choose to celebrate, we won't celebrate anything. You know, we'll cease to celebrate, you know, the next birthday, or we'll cease to celebrate Christmas, and there's religions that do that. Do you know that? They just don't celebrate anymore. They just, you know, are so caught up in the religiosity of life that they just cease to celebrate. And I was created for celebration. Amen. I was created for joy. I was created for love. And this month, we're going to celebrate love. I love this. Love fasts. Love fast. We're going to celebrate our salvation. We're going to celebrate Jesus. We're going to celebrate all month. This church is so weird. It's supposed to be February, isn't it, when we celebrate? But we're celebrating in September. And I want you to bring somebody. Bring somebody to celebrate with us. Celebrate with us. There's not, you know, a lot of places that you can come and be surrounded or immersed in an atmosphere of love, an atmosphere of the love of God. And I need it on a weekly basis to bring healing to my body. That's what I need. I mean, I need it so bad, you know. I wanted to pray for the Nowickis this morning because I ran into Fred and Louise, and actually I ran into Louise at the grocery store. I love being in a church where you run into people from church in the grocery store. You know, I mean, it's just like community. It's so great. And they're not going to be with us for a number of weeks because they're going to go to Canal Fulton and do their, you know, their thing out there. And I just want to pray for them. I want to stand behind them and pray for them because, you know, I mean, it'd be tough to be, I know the work is hard and not being in church. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We stand behind Fred and Louise, and we just thank you for them. Lord, thank you for the gift you've given them of this business, Lord, and how well it's doing. So we just ask you to strengthen them, Lord. Strengthen them for this time to be out there in the public eye and prosper them, Lord. Just make it so prosperous. I know how hard it is, how difficult it is, setting up and standing there and talking to people. Let the love of Christ just pour forth from them like the oils that they make, like the fragrances they make, that they can be a fragrance in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Wow, they're going out. I mean, they're like missionaries. We don't see it as the mission field. But Canal Fulton needs Jesus. It's Canal Fulton, isn't it? I think it's 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Wow. That's amazing. You'll turn to the Song of Solomon. You can't have a love fest without talking about the Song of Solomon. Oh, you've got to go into the Song of Solomon. It's amazing. The Song of Solomon is a love song. It's a love song written by Solomon, And, you know, it just abounds with metaphors and imagery and depicting bridal love, relationship. It's just amazing. I mean, most men hate it. Because it's just weird, you know, it kind of feels weird to be that open. And I'm just reading here from the intro. It says, as human life finds its highest fulfillment in the love of men and women, in the love of man and a woman, so spiritual life finds its highest fulfillment in the love of God. Wow. Our highest fulfillment in the love of God. How many know there's a higher love? Oh my goodness, there's a higher love. I think there's a song. Yeah, higher love. Doug, remember that one. It's not a request, but it's a good. So here we are in the first chapter, verse 2. And it says, let him kiss me. Yes. Whoa. Let him kiss me. I call this sweet surrender. Sweet surrender. You know, we have to surrender to the love of God. Yes. And why it's so difficult, I really don't have no idea. But I can remember being in that place. You know, just, you know, I want to be an arm's length away from God or more. You know, I don't want to be immersed in his love. Now I want to just be immersed in his love. I put myself in a position to be immersed in his love intentionally. It says, let him kiss you. We resist God's love. I have no idea why we resist God's love so much. It's amazing to me. And it says, for your love is better than wine. Well, you know, unfortunately for me, I fell in love with wine first. Yeah. Many other people have. I fell in love with wine at 15 years old. 15 years old, you know. When Sandy was singing hymns in the church, you know, because she grew up in church, I was hungover on Sunday morning, you know. And it was hard to believe that somehow God's love was greater. You know, I just couldn't believe that God, of course, they didn't start me out there when they were telling me, you know, that I needed God. They didn't start out with telling me that he loved me. They really didn't. When I went to the football gamers and I saw John 3:16, I didn't even have a clue. What is that? I mean, it was like a foreign language. And Christians just assume that we all know this. You know what I mean? You must be born again. You know. Woo! It's part of our Christianese. Part of our Christianese. And I had no idea. This made no sense to me. You know, I like never before, we need God to touch our hearts. We like never before, we need God to touch our hearts. We need messages of love so God can melt our hearts so that we can go forth with words of love, with the fragrance of love, like the Nowickies are going to do. And they're not going to use Christianese. You know, I just know they're in a business, but they have a something in their heart that they can share in a way just by being who they are. Oh my goodness, what an anointing on their life to do this. Their marriage just spills out and talks about, shows that love. I mean, I've known them for a long time. I don't even know how long. 15, 20 years, maybe that long. You know, I've known Patrick's longer. Their marriage, their love, just as that ointment poured forth, that fragrance poured forth. And aren't we, isn't it interesting that we're in a time of fragrances? Everybody's selling essential oils and fragrances. I call them the essential oil wars. You know, my essential oil is purer than your essential oil. You know, Young Life, doTERRA. I have a sister who's in doTERRA, which is the best. It is the best essential oil. You know, how many are wearing an essential oil right now? Come on, raise your hand. No? Oh, all potential customers here. I just rub it all over my body, you know. Ooh, oh my gosh, your love is better than wine. I didn't know that. It took me until I was 30 and going through all kinds of, you know, the pain that to remain the same. That's how men are. You know, they'll stay doing one thing for the longest time until the pain to remain the same. Whew, they change. They change. You know, I was putting in a garbage disposal the other day. Oh, my gosh. I almost lost my salvation. Now, under the sink is about this big, okay? And the garbage disposal is hanging in there. The tutorial was 3 minutes long and a woman was doing it. You know, and you needed 3 tools. A screwdriver, you know, a pliers, and a hammer or something, you know. They didn't mention you needed your wife to hold the light so you could yell at her. Whew. Oh, my gosh. So you get in this little tiny space. I don't need no help getting rid of my garbage. I almost called Pat. I was this close to calling Pat, but I was prideful. I can do this, you know. I can do this. The tutorial, it's short, it's easy. So you get this thing, it looks like a bomb, you know what I mean? It's this big. And it, you got to get it up under on this drain. And you got to hold it there, and then you got to turn this rig. Judy, get that light on. Oh my gosh, dogs are running. Whew. I mean, after all this time of devotion, of loving God, of reading my Bible, oh my gosh, of meditating, of time alone, all of it came out, man. All of this evil came, just surfaced. Oh my gosh. So I went out to the garage and I got a car jack. That was not on the tutorial. But I couldn't hold that thing up there. You know, it was heavy. It was too heavy. I'm an old man. And I reached in to get the car jack, and I got stung by a wasp. Oh, my God. I mean, what's going on? This was not on the tutorial. I got that car jack under there, jacked it up. So I wasn't holding it anymore. Put the ring on. And now about the leaks, Pat. You know, that was 3 weeks ago, and I'm still messing with that garbage disposal. But I don't need no help getting rid of my garbage. I don't need no help getting rid of my garbage. Whew. His love is sweeter than wine. His love, because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. We experienced it this morning. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. His name is that ointment poured forth, that balm of Gilead. Thanks for making it so easy to love Jesus, you guys. Thank you so for singing love songs to Jesus and making us. But we have to surrender to it. We just have to surrender to that love and say we need help. Oh, God, we need help. We need your help. It says, therefore the virgins love you. Do you know we can restore to virginity and innocence? I mean, after that event where I felt so foul, okay, so awful, besides I was drenched in sweat, all right, and I swore, I think, maybe. Kathy's shaking her head. I felt bad. I really felt bad. And I mean, but he restored me. He restored my innocence. He restored my purity. He restored it because of his love. His love is better than anything. It says he restored. His love draws us away. His love draws us away from our own judgments of ourselves and others. His love draws us away into pure thinking. Think upon these things, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Do you know how hard that is to do in this day and age? Whew. What is pure and is lovely. But I'm telling you, it's out there. It's in here. Whatever is pure, friendship, love, goodness, kindness, it's all here. It's all still there. It's all still there. It just doesn't make the news. It just doesn't make the news. That's why we need to be immersed in it every week. We need immersed in these love songs. Draw us away. His love draws us away. It draws us away from our own devices. Our own devices. And it keeps us in love. It keeps us in love. Look over in the book of Romans. Romans, if you understand the culture that Paul's talking about in the book of Romans, the Roman culture. You know, I mean, it's even beyond our own culture of death that we live in today. The own culture of death, you know, lighting the Appian Way with bodies of Christians. And I mean, just the atrocities of celebration of these kind of debauchery that was going on at this time. And he writes, he says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whew. Jesus knew I was going to have that terrible moment, you know, and he died for us. He died for me. Jesus knew I was going to be in love with wine first and had to be delivered from that whole lifestyle just to come to him, and he was right there with me. The word demonstrated, it means it's a present tense. It was demonstrated, and he keeps on demonstrating. He keeps on demonstrating. The cross was a one-time thing. But it keeps on demonstrating that he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. It keeps on. It keeps the demonstration is going on all the time that Christ died, past tense, but now it's being demonstrated on continually on people that don't deserve it. It says, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. No wrath, no fear. That's not what we're looking for. Judgment, wrath, and fear. We have what it says right there. We have been saved or delivered from the wrath to come. We have been saved from judgment, from criticism, from God. For if then we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. Wow, that's a good news. That is a good loop. It's his life that saves us. It's not our life. And we want to live our life for Christ, but we don't always do it, do we? No. But his blood is enough. That it saves us. It saves us from ourselves. And you have those ourselves moments, you know. Oh, my goodness. Demonstrated, a continual demonstration of his love is going on in our life. And not only that, you know, I mean, I love what Paul, he has the greatest revelation of the cross that anyone ever had. Yeah. I mean, on Damascus Road, his whole life was changed. He had a revelation of Christ and a change. And they said, Paul has the greatest revelation. And he's writing about that revelation of the demonstration of the cross. He can't get over it. And neither can I. I really can't get over his love. It's amazing. It's beyond amazing. It's bigger than we can even imagine. I mean, we kind of narrow it down, you know, and make God smaller than he is. when his love is so great, so big, so immense, it's beyond, beyond, beyond what we can even ask or think. It says, we are saved. God is still loving us, even through our messes. Even through our messes. It says, and not only that, but we also rejoice. That's the decision right there. To surrender to his love and rejoice. It flies in the face of where we're at even today. Even this morning, I felt slightly discouraged. You know, another shooting and it's my turn to preach? Oh my goodness. It's difficult. It's difficult, but we have to get into a different place. We have to get into that higher place, that heavenly place, and get God's perspective, and Paul had it. And then we come together, and the worship team leads us into a higher level of love in the place we need to be. And that's so important, so critical, to be immersed in that place. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Wow. He keeps using that word, to be reconciled. Reconciled to God. And he goes on to talk about reconciliation or the ministry. You know, we all look at ministry. Like, I have this ministry, pastoral ministry. Well, really, it's not. We've really learned and come to think that, it's not what we think. What ministry really is. Ministry is a call on everybody. He's given us this ministry, and he talks about it in 2 Corinthians. Look over in 2 Corinthians. This is amazing. Think about the Corinthian community. Pagan. Totally. Many gods. And Paul's there in this pagan community where, another mess of belief systems and practices. And he says, for the love of Christ compels us to keep moving on. Wow. When I want to quit, when I say, why am I still doing this? what's the purpose? It says it's the love of Christ that compels us or keeps us moving forward. It's not statistics or situations. If we look at those, we just quit and say, it's not worth it, and go back to in a cave or a bunker, and pull the covers over our head and just quit. People have done that. I know people who have done that. They don't come anymore. But it says the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Whew. Wow, that's an amazing, amazing word right there. If one died for all, then all died. Wow, powerful. And he explains this. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. This isn't for me. This is my ministry, this isn't for me. It's about them that need to hear this word. It's about me that heard it when I came to the Lord, and they gave me that Bible, and it said, God so loved the world. I said, why didn't they start there? I was astounded. I said, man, this is so simple. Why didn't they tell me this? Oh, my goodness. It was such a revelation like Paul had. And if he died for all, that those who live should no longer live themselves, but for him who died for them. Who died for them and rose again. See, the cross demonstrates that love on a continual basis. Continual basis. Demonstrating the love of Christ. Demonstrating the love of Christ. Every day. Demonstrating. I mean, people wear it around their necks. And Patrick's just brought me a cross, which is really organic and cool. It's all wood, but they missed it. They didn't bring a chain so I could hang it around my neck. Wow. This is so cool. Thank you, guys. What a blessing. You know, I like wood and organic stuff. It's really beautiful. You must have thought of me when... Did you make a pet, Mike? No, a friend. Thank you for giving it to me. How wonderful. Beautiful. Wow. So what motivates us? The kisses of the Word. Knowing this love, the kisses of the Word, hearing the Word and interpret them as kisses from God. See, when we think of kisses, He's talking about the Word of God, the Word that we're reading to you right now. It keeps moving us forward. These kisses of the Word, Rhonda knows them better than anybody. You know, she calls it little encounters with God as kisses from God. Kisses from God. When you experience a lovely encounter with God, you know, it's just a kiss from the Lord. You know, and you just have to get your head in that right place to receive those things from God on a continual basis and give Him all the honor and the glory and the praise for everything. You know, everything is lovely and pure and of good report. Oh, my goodness. Over the top. Therefore, wow, what is this all there for? Therefore, not from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. This love that is demonstrated puts us in a place spiritually where we're not looking at what people do. In order to love them correctly. Right. I mean, is this true? We no longer regard anyone after the flesh. And what's the first thing we do? See what they're doing. Look what they're doing. You know, like, we're totally, I'm blown away. Look what they're doing, you know, and God going, I love them. I love them. I love them. Whew. I love you. I love you. I love you. Wow, He's drawing them. He's drawing them. That's the only, He's drawing them. According to the kisses of this Word, drawing them. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. We're in the Spirit. And the Spirit is contrary to the flesh. It defies the flesh. That's why we can come celebrate this morning, even when there's another shooting in this country. Because we're in the Spirit. We're not ignorant of what's going on. Absolutely not. I'm not ignorant. It grieves me, but I'm still hopeful. I'm still in hope. Don't rob my hope for mankind. Because I know God is bigger. His Spirit is bigger. His love is greater. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. It happened in my life. It happened in your life. Oh my gosh, we could all stand up here and testify of God saved us and delivered us and healed us and changed us and demonstrated His love towards us so we could demonstrate His love towards everybody else out there. Whew. And that's our ministry of reconciliation. The whole here goes right here. It says, therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creation. Old things. Oh, I love this. I'm not saying the Old Testament, okay? I'm not saying the Old Testament passed away. God forbid. I'd be stoned. I mean, you know, because I draw from the Old Testament. The old covenant is passed away, and there's a new covenant between God and man. New covenant. New covenant. Old things are passed. We have to think of who He's talking to. See, He's not talking to just us. He's talking to a culture that lived under an old covenant of retribution, of fear, of wrath. And He's saying that old covenant is passed away. Wow. That's what He's saying. I'm not saying the old testament, because people love the Old Testament. They love to go into the Old Testament. I'm a New Testament guy, I'm telling you. New Testament grace guy, that's what I am. That's my message. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Old judgments, old attitudes, old mental attitudes have passed away. And that's what he's trying to get over to them. You know, I found a new way of living. I found a new way of judging. I found a new way of evaluating. It's all under the blood. It's all under the blood. I mean, he was a teacher of the law. And here he is saying, new covenant, new relationship, new time. This is a new time. Now, all things. Woo-hoo-hoo. Say all things. All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Whew. I don't need any help getting rid of my garbage. God did it for me. God did it for me. He did it himself. He demonstrated his love towards us in his son. It was God became man and hung on a cross. Whew. I think we diminished that. We just see the humanity of Christ instead of the deity, God hung on a cross and died for our sins. It's so huge, it's so immense that we just kind of narrow it down to wrap our heads around it, and then it loses its power. It just loses its power. And we get overwhelmed by circumstances and situations. Oh, now all things are of God who has reconciled us. Oh, has reconciled us. Reconciled us. Or to himself, to Jesus Christ, and given us this ministry of reconciliation. Wow, that's a call on our life. All of our life. You may not be called to be an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher, but you're called to be a minister of reconciliation, of restoring people back to the favor of God. You know, I wish they would have got that when people were witnessing to me, to restore me back, to let me know I had favor with God. I had favor with God to restore us back to favor with God. I wrote some of it out. Here's the good news translation. Our message is that God was making all human beings his friends. This is the good news translation. Through Jesus Christ, God did not keep an account of our sins. He has given us the message which tells them God is now our friend. Whew. Never even thought in those terms. Never even thought that God wanted to be friends with me, desired to love me. I just had to get in line. I just had to get my life in order. And all along, he had demonstrated his love and said, it's a free gift. Whew. Surrender to it. Surrender to his love. Just surrender to his love. It says in the Strong's Concordance, which is kind of interesting. It says here, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world. I mean, it just gets bigger and broader. Paul has this revelation. It just gets bigger. The world, in the Strong's Concordance says world, the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of men alienated from God, hostile to the cause of Christ. That's what it says right in the Strong's Concordance. Wow, how all-encompassing is that? And how does that make your worldview just a little bit different? It just explodes your worldview. It's not us and them anymore. It's his desire for all of us. His desire for all of us. Oh my goodness, it's so big. Where was it? Reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. This is mind-boggling. It's so much bigger than our small thinking. You're going to get what you deserve. You know? I mean, somehow we want to see people get that kind of, you know, what they deserve. That's fallen thinking. That's old thinking. That's old covenant thinking. And he knows he has to shift a whole culture over to New Testament thinking about God and about those in the world they live in. The world they live in. It says, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us this word of reconciliation. Whew. Wow. The kisses of God. The kisses of God. The word of God. The kisses of God. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God was pleading. He's pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Surrender to his love. Surrender. That's our message. Surrender to his great love. Surrender to his great mercy. Surrender to his goodness. Surrender. Would you surrender to his love? But first you have to be totally surrendered. You can't give what you don't have, what you don't understand, what you're not immersed in. That's why we're trying to immerse you in this love, to go out to a culture. I was so amazed Friday night. They're writing letters here, okay, to the people that they came in contact with who they don't even know or what they're even involved in, about how good God is and how much, you know, we love them. Wow. Why? Because they've experienced it. Because they know it. Their heart is overflowing with it. Their heart is overflowing with it. Whew. They've taken, God's called to be in this ministry of reconciliation, to be ambassadors for Christ. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Wow, he restored us to favor, to be restored to favor again. That's what grace is, to be restored to favor again. Let's go back to the Song of Solomon. We're going to have communion this morning. And this is in Song of Solomon 2, it says, he brought me to the banqueting house. He brought me to the banqueting house. And what's his banner? What's his banner? His banner over us. Think of the size of a banner that God has. I mean, I made a sign. I made a sign. But just think of the size of banner God has, you know. I mean, it's bigger than one of those things flying from the airplane, you know, over the stadium. God is so huge. He demonstrated his love towards us while we were yet sinners. When we didn't even want to come, you could not shame me into coming to God. I was having too much fun. You could not shame me until the pain to remain the same changed. And God was still there. God was still there. Oh, I'm getting really tired holding up this banner. I'm telling you, would anybody come alongside and help me? Is anybody out there would come up here and help me hold this? Anybody? Whew. Oh, thank you, Gail. I'm not as strong as I used to be. Wow. It's heavy, isn't it? Wow. I mean, it's heavy. It's heavy. I want to quit sometime. I just want to give it up. You know? And, you know, retire to my luxury condominium in Florida? But I come every year, every week. Oh, see, we got to hold this banner high. We got to hold this banner high. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. His banner over me is love. And every time I celebrate communion, this is what it reminds me of. Because when we come to the communion table together, we're coming because of the demonstration of the cross. And he tells us that, you know, the night before Jesus died, he gave us something to bring us back together every time to that demonstration of his love. That demonstration of his love. It says, he brought me to the banqueting house in his banner over us his love. He sustained us with cakes and raisins. He refreshed us with Apple, there's a tremendous abundance. It's speaking of abundance. Abundance of his love. No shortage at all. An abundance of his love that's out there for us. For I am lovesick. Oh, I am lovesick. I admit it, I am lovesick. I'm enamored with his love. I'm astounded by his great love. For this, for me, for this church, for this city, for this world, this country. Oh my goodness. We're not getting what we deserve. He's just pouring out love because he chose to demonstrate that way. He chose, Almighty God chose to demonstrate his love. It says, his left hand is under our head. His right hand embraces me. We are locked in a divine embrace that we can't get out of. How many feel it? I just can't get out of it. I just can't break out of it. Nobody's mean enough, nasty enough. Nobody's ugly enough to break me out of this divine embrace. But I don't know what's coming. I want to be in that place. I want to be so filled with that love. I don't know what's coming. We're going to have to be in that place of his great love, of his this great outpouring of his love. His love, and it can be, to me, his love can be heard and seen everywhere. Everywhere. It can be heard and seen everywhere. It says in verse 8, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle, a young stag. Behold, he stands behind the wall. He looks through the window. He gazes through the lattice. He's everywhere. You can't keep him out of anywhere. He's faster. He's more beautiful. He's brighter than anything. It speaks of his ability. This speaks of the ability of God to pursue us and to come after us. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. The winter is past. The rain is over. The flowers appear on the earth. This is spiritual seeing, folks. Whew. This is spiritual seeing. This is seeing in the spirit, not in the flesh. I no longer know anything after the flesh. I am in the spirit, and I see this abundance. I see this love. I see that cold love is over. Whew. Cold love is over. God at a distance is over. He wants to come close. He's calling us close in this hour. It says, the time of singing has come, a glad heart of celebration in the midst of what we're going through. Thanks again, worship team, for leading us into a place where it's easy to love God. Easy to love God. The time and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. You know, turtle doves mate for life. You can't get away from this. This is for life, folks. This is for life. I don't care if you turn your back on God. You know, like I said, I almost lost my salvation. How many here think you can lose your salvation? Woo-hoo-hoo, what a theological question. Oh, don't go there, Dave. I'll tell you one thing. The more I love God, the more I know he loves me, the less I think about it. The less I'm even concerned with it. Because where my love and his love and it all comes together in such a divine embrace. And it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Bigger and bigger. You know, like all your relationships with your kids and your spouse. And bigger and bigger and bigger. Even through adversity and difficulty. Oh, every week I need to be immersed in this culture of divine, unconditional love. You can pass out the elements. I should have had you do that. You know, it just goes on and on and on to the Song of Solomon. I really encourage you during this month just to read these passages and understand you're the object of God's love. You are the object of God's love. Here it says in chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "You have ravished my heart." Wow. Megan, you ravish God's heart. Whew. Oh, my goodness. Well, you said, well, that might be easy for Megan. She's a worship person, you know. But everyone here. It says, "You have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes, with one link of your necklace. How fair is your love." Oh, when I tell you to sit in the presence of God and smile at God and know that He's smiling at you, there's a divine connection. There's an increase of love flow that happens that just brings healing, brings change of heart, brings forgiveness, brings mercy. Just one look at the heart of God. And there's a connection that just changes everything. And we want to celebrate that this morning. How fair is your love? My sister, my spouse, how much better than wine is your love? You know, I don't think it was any mistake that, you know, Jesus chose wine on the night before he died. He chose wine. He said, you know, on the night before, he demonstrated his love, not only to us, but the entire world. He took this cup. He took this cup. Thanks, Willie. And he took bread. I bought Walker shortbread. Because it has three ingredients: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Butter, sugar, and wheat. Okay. I just thought that up. But it's three things we love: butter, sugar, and wheat, you know. And we have, look, gluten-free. We have, anybody need gluten-free? We have it, okay, for those who might need gluten-free. But we can see all these symbols of his love. In the smallest of things, I see the symbol of love in Walker's shortbread. Butter, sugar, and wheat. And they're life-sustaining. So he took this, like we're taking it right now. I want it to be a little more substantial. He blessed it. I said, we just bless this shortbread, Lord. And we thank you that your love has never come short, never comes up short, Lord. And we just take it and we eat it together in Jesus' name. And then he took the cup because his love is better than wine. And he wants us to experience that. He wants us to drink it in. He wants to immerse ourselves in it. A couple weeks ago, we immersed our bread in the wine, didn't we? That was so cool. What a great thing. There's so many ways to do this, so many wonderful ways, but it's just a remembrance, a continual remembrance. How many need to be reminded continually? Amen. So he took the cup. He blessed it. Gave it to his disciples and take and drink, for this is my blood. In the new covenant, in Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Now, am I supposed to announce this? Okay. So, you know, because there's so many of you in this church that have been through so many things, you know, illness, divorce, all those things that life brings, loss of loved ones, all the stuff that we've been through, addictions, you know. Betty and I kind of got together and said, we want to have a support group for people who are going through stuff. Because, you know, we might mention something here and pray for you, but it might be something that you need to work through. And there's also, you know, there's many theological positions on divorce, you know. We can talk about it. Or, you know, there are many approaches to addiction. We can talk about it. There are many problems when you go through grief, losing someone. Well, the best thing you can do is really talk about it and have a support group. So we came up with the name Support Other Survivors, because we all survive something, you know. Maybe the terrible twos. How many survived the terrible twos? I did it seven times. Yeah, right, the terrible twos. And but so we're getting together, and it's going to start September 17th, 7 to 8:30, every Tuesday at Oak River Church, right here. Yeah, and we're thinking about using a book called
I tried till I almost died.
So, yeah. So we're thinking of possibly using that book. It's really a good book because a lot of us have tried and tried and tried. And then we get hit with something like, you know, I got hit with that. Oh, my gosh, what? How do I handle this? How do I handle this? You know what I'm talking about. And you handle it with a community of care and a community of love. So we just want to announce that. Thank you guys for being here.